Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, as you heard yesterday, Saskatchewan's agriculture minister says agri-food exports to India continue to grow by leaps and bounds. We'll hear from David Merritt about that new report that came out coming up on today's program. As well, the chief agricultural editor of SaskAgToday.com heard details of Tuesday's crop insurance announcement from Saskatchewan's agriculture minister, David Merritt. Kevin Hirsch will weigh in on his thoughts. And there was Saskatchewan representation at the Canadian Federation of Agriculture annual general meeting in Ottawa last week. Ian Boxall, the president of APAS, was there. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Langenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6, Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
Much like people reach maturity at different ages, individual heifers also mature at different times. Some might look like mature adults, while others may look younger than their age. Extension specialists recommend cow-calf producers complete a pre-breeding heifer evaluation to help identify which heifers should be bred early and which should wait for later in the breeding season. In a recent Kansas State University press release, the topic of heifer development was addressed. Experts discuss factors that influence the pace at which heifers reach maturity. Most heifers reach puberty at 12 to 13 months of age, according to Kansas State University Extension veterinarian Bob Larson. Some Brahman-influenced breeds are a little older when they begin cycling. Larson advises producers complete a pre-breeding evaluation for their heifers. This will help identify heifers most likely to breed early in the season. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Health Canada says it plans to completely ban strychnine after completing public consultations on use of the powerful poison. The announcement was made in a conference call between Health Canada officials and stakeholder groups. The official announcement is expected today. During the call, an official with the Pest Management Regulatory Agency said all uses of the poison will be illegal by September 7th. Registrations of the products containing the poison will be cancelled as of today. The decision came after an official reconsideration of a ruling originally released in 2022 that would have allowed some continued use of strychnine. Animal welfare groups applauded the decision on the toxin, which many consider cruel as well as a threat to non-target animals. The federal government and private and producer groups have announced $20 million toward wheat research. Jake LeGuy, chair of the Canadian Wheat Research Coalition, or CWRC, says the investment in research through the wheat cluster will keep wheat profitable and sustainable for Canadian farmers, increasing quality and yields while finding new solutions for environmental stressors like drought and diseases like Fusarium head blight. He notes farmers have been practicing minimum tillage and nutrient stewardship for decades, and the activities funded under this will enhance those practices, allowing farmers to contribute further to the Government of Canada's climate targets. The feds promised over $11.2 million in funding for the Canadian National Wheat Cluster via the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership. Producer groups and private organizations like the Manitoba Crop Alliance, Alberta Grains, and Western Grains Research Foundation contributed more than $9.3 million. The CWRC will administer the research cluster. The federal government has announced some $97 million in funding for farms and agribusinesses to adapt cleaner technologies like more efficient grain dryers, solar power, and precision agriculture technology. The cash will fund 148 projects through the Agricultural Clean Technology, or ACT, program's adoption stream, which prioritizes projects that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions. A further 14 projects through ACT's Research and Innovation stream are also funded. This stream supports research, development, and demonstration of agricultural clean technology. Among the projects funded include 37 new grain dryers, 48 solar installations, and 31 purchases of precision agriculture technology. Other projects include anaerobic digesters, heat exchangers, and electric heating systems. To date, 414 projects have been funded through ACT, to the tune of nearly $170 million. The ICE Futures canola market may finally be showing signs of stabilizing after its long downtrend, although the upside could be limited for the time being. While increased farmer selling on any moves higher would keep a lid on the upside, David Derwin of PI Financial in Winnipeg notes that many producers were already well sold on their canola. Support of seasonal price trends, such as weather news during the spring planting season, also often underpin values at this time of year. Statistics Canada releases its first planting expectations for the upcoming growing season on March 11th, with average pre-report expectations calling for a slight decline in seeded canola area from the 22.1 million acres planted in 2023. However, opinions are divided, and some analysts expect canola area could still be up on the year. Drones and robots will be put to work in the orchards of Kelowna, BC this spring as part of a pilot project to promote what the equipment maker calls precision farming. The city is collaborating with BC company Indro Robotics to use its aerial drones and ground-roving industrial robots to patrol 80 hectares of apple, pear, and cherry trees to monitor fruit health and growth. A statement from the city says the equipment will help farmers better manage their crops. Indro Robotics CEO Philip Reese says in the statement that autonomous robots and drones can inspect crops and provide real-time data on plant health, soil moisture, and infestations. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up across the board this afternoon. May canola trading at $605.50, up $6.60. July canola trading at $613.30, up $6.40. May Minneapolis wheat trading at $6.59 and a quarter, that's up 14 cents. May Kansas City wheat trading at $5.75 per bushel, up 18 and three quarters of a cent. May Chicago wheat trading at $5.31 and a half, that's up a half a cent. May corn trading at $4.37 and a half, up 8 and three quarters. May soybeans trading at $11.61 and a quarter, that's up 13 cents. May oats trading at $3.61 and three quarters, up 5.25 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. The chief agricultural editor of SaskAgToday.com heard details of Tuesday's crop insurance announcement from Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. Kevin Hirsch had this to say about enhancements to the weather-based programs and the insured coverage per acre.
The new parts is they've enhanced the forage rainfall insurance program so you can insure more forage crops under it, including mixed forage, green feed, and silage. They've also extended that to intercrops. Intercrops, you could insure them under the diversification option, but that wasn't always that appealing. But now you can use the rainfall insurance program on those as well. Have to look exactly what that means. But that's the work that they've done has also included 38 new weather stations so that producers' land base is hopefully within at least 30 kilometers of a weather station so that it can be a little bit more applicable to them, although rainfall can vary a great deal. But that was the main amount of work. Based a lot of it on the difficulties last year in the livestock sector and the drought and enhancing that side of the program.
He says the more weather stations, the better.
Yeah, when you look at the map of where the weather stations are that's posted on their website, they've got some 224 weather stations now across the province. So you don't see any real big gaps anywhere across the province. And the weather stations are easy to keep adding, but at 224, that's certainly more accurate and applicable than what we've seen to date.
Hirsch offers his thoughts on the multi-peril crop insurance program and the premium that goes with it.
Well, everybody gets their own premiums on individual crops and their own coverage levels based on their yield history, but they were able to lay out the averages. And the average coverage per acre for the regular crop insurance program comes out at $389 an acre. Last year, it was $440. That decline is mainly due to most of the grain prices dropping, and yield coverage may have also dropped a little bit. The average premium this year will be $12.71 an acre. Last year it was $14.50 an acre, so that drop corresponds to the drop in coverage. If you look at the premium rate that you're being charged, there is a very slight increase, but it's not as large as I would have expected. Should note, however, that premiums and coverages vary dramatically. I've got chickpea coverage that's in the $440 an acre range, but the premiums in the $38 an acre range. So these are only averages. Everybody will have to deal with their own numbers.
And he notes that livestock producers seem to be pleased with the changes to the livestock price insurance program.
And I think it just goes to show that the government listened to the concerns of the livestock industry and producers that attended those drought meetings last year and have tried to enhance the programs, the forage rainfall-based programs, to try to make it more applicable to the livestock industry. So not that there can't be further improvements. Perhaps we'll move at some point to satellite-based information for insurance. But at least enhancements are being made. Certainly, the crop insurance program has really been tailored to the grains and oilseed producer in the past. So the livestock sector is playing catch up and trying to get insurance that meets their needs. And this shows there have been at least a few steps in that direction.
That's Kevin Hirsch, chief agricultural editor of SaskAgToday.com, who farms in the Cabri area in southwestern Saskatchewan.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Canadian Association of Farm Advisors is holding a Parkland Learning event coming up on Wednesday, March 20th. It'll be held at the Community Futures Ventures office at 204 Smith Street East in Yorkton, and it'll run from 9 until 10:30 in the morning. However, you must RSVP for it by March 18th, so that's next Monday, to Denise Philipchuk at management.com. And they will have a couple of panelists. There will be a panel discussion on farm financial planning. One of them will be Monty Taphorn, who is working with TD Bank since 1999 in various roles within agriculture services. He's a relationship manager with TD Yorkton Agriculture Services. His current position as a relationship manager focuses on helping farm and agribusiness customers and prospects reach their financial goals. Another one of the panelists will be Denise Philipchuk from Philipchuk Management Incorporated. She's the CEO, and she's developed a keen interest for agriculture on the family farm in the Swan River Valley of Western Manitoba. So that's coming up on Wednesday, March 20th, but you must RSVP by Monday, March 18th at denise@philipchuckmanagement.com. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. A mix of sun and cloud, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of minus 10. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds northwest at 5 to 10, a low of minus 25. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, winds southwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 6, an overnight low of minus 16. For Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, winds south-southwest at 15 to 25, a high of minus 1. For Sunday, sunny, a high of plus 3, and Monday, mainly sunny, also a high of plus 3. In the Paw, Dauphin, and Shoal Lake Russell, it's minus 12 degrees. Swan River, minus 11. Brandon, minus 10. Roblin, minus 13. Regina is at minus 18 degrees. Saskatoon, minus 21. Hudson Bay, minus 11. Broadview, Mooseman, minus 13. Indian Head, minus 14. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 15. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, a northwest wind at 21 kilometers an hour. 71% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 13 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 21 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.